And thank you to Heidi and our singers this morning for leading us in worship and leading us to think about God's word that he has for us and is always speaking to us if we're willing to listen and to follow. And so we turn to God's word together this morning as we continue this series on the chapters of life. If you're visiting with us, just joining us online, we've been in this series the last few weeks thinking about how God speaks to us, calls us at different stages of life. We thought at the outset about the joys of childhood. We then thought about gaining wisdom, especially for our young adults. Last thought about shaping a generation, maybe especially for parents with children. And this week, we're going to think about the transitions of life. And maybe particularly as we've been kind of going across the seasons of life, thinking maybe as you're coming to that stage of life where you're ending your work career and thinking about retirement, or just have retired, or have been retired for a little bit of time, and that transition that's going on, and what do things look like now? What does God have for me? Am I still valuable? And so that's really what we're going to be focusing on today, but as we have for all these messages, I hope you can see that there's application at various stages of life. We go through different transitions. Maybe it's moving to a different place. Maybe it's a significant job change. Maybe it's now you're an empty nester at home. The kids have moved out. There's all these significant transitions we might go through in our lives. And it always unsettles us a little bit. We wonder maybe about our identity and our calling. So I hope we hear God speaking to us no matter what stage we might be in as we navigate some of these transitions with him. As we've been going through each and every stage of this series, we've been reminding ourselves of this truth. And I hope we hear it again today, that God values us and he has a calling for us at every age and ability of life. Right? There's not a stage or an age or an ability we have or don't have where God ceases to value us, or also where he doesn't have a calling for us. And so we'll be reminded of that again today. This morning's message is going to flow a little bit differently from our normal sermon, or at least as you're used to me preaching that. Typically, we have one text we kind of sit in for that time together. This week, we're going to be jumping around to various passages as we think about this this topic of these transitions in life and how God would speak to us in the midst of them. So if you're here with us, if you're watching with us online, maybe keep your Bible handy as we go through some different passages today. If you want to get the first one, we're going to be in Psalm 71 first. So I'll give you a head start to that passage. But as we were thinking about transitions, as I was reflecting on that this week, I was trying to think about how I've been in transitions and what are some of the, maybe the questions that come to mind. And so I just wanted to list a few questions here before us. Maybe some of these questions are ones that you're dealing with or that you've recently had going through your mind. But as we go through transitions, and maybe especially as you come to that time of retirement, you might wonder, do I still have value? Or have I lost some value? What does that look like? What is there to look forward to right now? As I'm going through this transition, and maybe in particular as it seems like, as we often say, I'm over the hill, what's there to look forward to? Can I still be useful? Can I still be effective as my abilities, my opportunities, they adjust, they change? And then lastly, what can I do? What can I be doing? No doubt there's numerous other questions you might ask or face as we go through these, but these were the ones that God was placing on my heart this week, and as I was in his word, he was speaking into these questions. And so that's kind of the framework for how we're going to walk through this time together today, thinking about those questions and how God speaks into them to us through his word. So first we want to consider that question of value. Do I still have value? I think it's a normal question to ask because at times, and maybe particularly as we come to the end of our work careers, the world might say to us, so you've kind of lost your value. Your contribution to society as a whole has gone downward. And we can begin to wonder, do I still have value? Do I have value in this world? Do I have value in my family? The kids are growing up maybe. They're doing their own thing. Do I still have value in the church for the kingdom? Does God still value me? Now, I know we've just said and have been saying up front, God values us at every stage, but we need to hear it again from his word. We need to keep being reminded of what God says to us, how he upholds us, how he goes with us. So let's hear that again today, how God would speak this value to us. And the reminder I want us to have with this question is that the value God places on us isn't based on our age. It isn't based on our ability. Could add there, it's not based on what the world says our value might be. It's based on who he is, his character, his faithfulness, as we just sang a few moments ago. So as I was thinking about that question, I was drawn first to Psalm 71. It's a psalm of David that he writes at a more elderly age of his life, an advanced stage. It's a psalm of faithfulness and David crying out to the Lord and trusting in him. But in the midst of this, you can hear his questions as he's entering this stage where maybe my abilities are different. Maybe people are looking at me different. We'll even hear him say, they're looking at me and wondering, oh, how's his relationship with the Lord? Maybe the Lord's forsaken him. He's not the warrior he used to be. And David is raising that before the Lord. So I just want to start there in verse 5, hearing David's expression. He says to the Lord, "For you've been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign or a portent to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. So do not cast me away when I am old." We're hearing David in the midst of his situation. "Don't cast me away when I'm old. Don't forsake me when my strength is gone." Continues on, you hear the song kind of repeating. Then in verse 18, he says again, "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, till I declare your mighty acts to all who are to come." As we said, this is an expression of trust David has. He is trusting that the Lord will be with him. But you can hear the question. Others are asking, "David, do you still matter? Do you still have relevance?" They're looking at David's life like a sign. Oh, maybe since David is losing strength, he's not the warrior he used to be. He's maybe not even the victories he used to have. He's not out the front of the army. Maybe that's a sign of how God views him. And hear David, right? "Don't forsake me, God. Don't cast me away, even in my old age, even as things change. I go through this transition, God, be with me." This is nothing new that you might be experiencing this day, wondering with the Lord as things change in our lives, what it means for our value in the world, but especially with him. Now, of course, we're hearing David's voice in this psalm, his expression of trusting God that he will continue to go with him, that it'll give him the opportunity to proclaim his mighty acts to the next generation. But I want to hear God's response to this as well, or what God says in his word. So flip with me to the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 46. Of course, this is not a direct response to David, but if you hear the words, it almost sounds like it. Here God is speaking to his people who have gone into captivity in Babylon. He's encouraging here with them with this word of how he's going to take care and give justice to Babylon as well. But in the midst of that, starting in verse 3, chapter 46 of Isaiah, he says this. And here God's speaking his value to his people at every age and stage of life. "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you who I have upheld since your birth, and have carried since you were born. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you." Right, hear the value that God communicates to his children. You can hear the echo of David's words there, right? From birth, from conception, God says, "Yes, I have been the one there with you all along. I have been the one who's cared for you and watched you and sustained you. And I will continue to do so." God's message to us first and foremost today, as maybe we're facing transition, as maybe we're looking and hearing from the world a different value they might place on us, God's message to us is that his valuation of us does not change. It's not dependent on our age or ability. It's not catered to by what the world thinks of us, because God does not change. It's depending on his character. "I am he," he says. This is the Lord God who's speaking. "I will sustain you. I will carry you. I will rescue you. I continue to go with you. Whether you're a little child, all the way to your gray hairs and old age, I continue to be the Lord your God." So first and foremost today, if this is where you're at in your life and you're in the midst of these transitions, we need to hear that word, that God continues to have value for us. I think part of that value question is that second question that we had up there a moment ago, and that's this question of what is there to look forward to? Right, we have these phrases, we use them jokingly, but they also hit home a bit. Oh, now I'm over the hill, right? It means I'm going downward, downhill. Or, you know, we kind of reach this age, we often say, where life starts taking more from us than it gives to us. Right? So we might wonder, God, what is there to look forward to? Where's the value even in my life at this point? As maybe I'm ending a work career, or I'm going through a dramatic transition in my life where I'm wondering about my identity. What's there to look forward to? I believe God speaks into this as well in his word in numerous ways and places. And again, what we want to have in mind here is, yes, we have things to look forward to, the blessings of God that he'll give to us in this life to enjoy. And I believe truly at every age and stage, if we're looking, if we're paying attention, there's always blessings that God is giving to us to enjoy now. But especially, God is drawing our eyes forward eternally, to gaze on Christ and to remember our heavenly reward that we have in him. So I want to turn with you now to the book of Job. Just back a little bit in your Bible to Job chapter 42, the very end of that book. You might know the story of Job well, or maybe not. Job is one who is seen as a faithful follower of the Lord. God even is commending him in the heavenly courts, and the enemy Satan comes and says, well, of course he's faithful. You've blessed him in every way. Let me take away some of those blessings. And we'll see what happens. And God allows that to happen. And Job is met with severe suffering in his life. He loses really all his material wealth. His children are taken away. He loses so much, even his own health. He's covered with boils and is dealing with pain. His friends and family come around him at this point. His friends come to give him counsel, and they don't always give the most helpful counsel at that time. Job is wrestling with the Lord about all of this and calling for an audience with the Lord, which he eventually gets. And the Lord speaks to him, kind of puts Job in his place, but also upholds him as being faithful in the struggle. And then at the very end, chapter 42, I just want to read starting at verse 10, we hear this summary of what happens in Job's latter days. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the 4th generation. And so Job died, an old man and full of years. Now, as we hear that passage, I think it's worth giving it just a small word of caution, because if you're like me, you hear this and you instantly think about this life and material possessions and a doubling of that, and there's this temptation we have. There's even really a whole movement out there that says, if I'm faithful to God, he's going to give me everything I want and more in this life. And sometimes God does bless us. But the problem is we start tying that to our faithfulness, and I can easily say, well, the reason I'm struggling, I have poverty, whatever it is because I'm not being faithful enough. Of course, that runs contrary to the gospel. It runs contrary to what we know of Jesus Christ. Who has been more faithful than Jesus? No one, we would say. And yet Jesus has no home as he goes about his ministry. He has really no possessions to call to his name in his life here on earth. He says, I have no place to rest my head. He goes under the greatest suffering that anyone has to undergo. And so we have to be careful in applying some of this and just saying, well, if I'm just faithful and live the right way, I'll have all these blessings. Nevertheless, God does at different times, and maybe at this season of life, give us blessings to enjoy. And as I said, if we're looking for them, there's always a blessing that we can enjoy and look forward to in our lives. And maybe for some of you, as you're coming to a time of transition, maybe if you're coming to this time of retirement, it is a time that you can see the blessings that God has given to you to enjoy for this season of life. Perhaps it is material blessings, that God's blessed you with a peace and comfort that can come through that, and that you can bless back to him and to other ministries in this season. Maybe it's the blessing of just more time that you can pursue things you couldn't before, time for relationships and things like that. Maybe it's the blessing of generations coming after you, children, grandchildren, maybe even great-grandchildren, and you can see and look forward to the blessing of God in those things. Certainly that's something that I would encourage for all of us, and it's a helpful thing in these times of transition to remember the Lord continues to go with us and bless us. But ultimately, as I was reflecting on this too, I know that God is pointing us forward to have our eyes looking forward to what he is giving to us in Christ. We can store up earthly treasures all we want, but we know, of course, they end up going by the wayside. They fade, they decay, they rust. Someone takes them. We can't take them with us. But the heavenly treasures we have, that's not the case. So read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, there's all these stories of the faithful ones who have come before us. And there's always this comment, or not always, but a lot of cases, these comments about how they had this different vision. And specifically that phrase, looking forward, comes up in the story of Abraham, verse 10. Verses 8 through 10 are telling us about Abraham's faith in following the Lord, even though he was called to a land he wasn't his own, and he had to go live in tents as a nomad, and he was going around. Verse 10 says to us, but he was looking forward to a city whose foundations were being built by God. He was looking forward to this eternal reward that he and his children after him would enjoy. Yes, God had blessings for Abraham, for Isaac, for the patriarchs and their families in this life too, but ultimately, this is where God is always fixing us. Because eventually the things of this life, no matter how abundant they might be, they always fade. God always has us looking forward to what we have in Christ, fixing our eyes on him. Don't store up yourself treasures here on earth, Jesus says. Store them up in heaven. So those two first questions deal with our value, right? God values us in these stages of transition as we go to maybe different opportunities before you. There are things to look forward to in this life, but certainly overall in the next. The last two questions, just want to talk about that question of calling. What's God's calling for us? Maybe as I'm ending my work career, or maybe I'm going through another significant transition, what does that calling look like? And the first question I want to bring up is, can I still be useful? It's a bit of a different question from my value. This means, you know, can I still be effective? Maybe my abilities aren't quite what they were before. That could be a struggle for us. You know, when we're young, we don't really realize, we don't really care about the things we haven't learned yet or aren't able to do. We're just having fun, we're enjoying life, letting other people worry about those things. But as we go through life and we gain abilities and different opportunities and have responsibility, and then as maybe some of those things start to change, it's hard for us. Understandably, it's difficult. And we wonder, where's my usefulness? So the next question was, what can I be doing? Is there still fruit that can come from my life? And I think sometimes we're tempted, especially when we think about retirement, to say, well, I've retired from my work, so I retired from kingdom work as well. I'm retiring from what I can do in the church. I had my time there. I put it in. It's time for someone else to do it. But that's not the case. Right? God has a calling for us at every age and ability of life. He has usefulness. We're still needed at this stage as well. So I want to hear a God saying to us that in him, every season of life is a season to be bearing fruit. I invite you to turn with me now back to the Psalms in Psalm 92. Psalm 92, the closing verses there, starting at verse 12. Psalm 92, the psalmist writes there, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in him. Again, the world might say, your time for bearing fruit is past. Right? We know what happens as things get older. Their greenness goes away. They wither. They don't have any more usefulness or effectiveness. But God says, not so with my children. Even to their old age, even when the world says, you don't have this fruitfulness anymore, you will still be fruitful. You still have calling. You still have a way you can be useful for God's kingdom and in his church. The text points to this testimony that God's people have. The Lord's upright. He's my rock. In him, there's no wickedness. Just in that proclamation, in that testimony, in that worship, we are being fruitful. Because that blesses, as we sang before, the generations who would come after us to see us continually through all the changes, through all the ups and downs, proclaiming the Lord's goodness, proclaiming his name as the one true God and worshiping him. Even if there was nothing else we could do, that would be fruitful. But I know for many of you in this time maybe of transition, there is many ways that you can be fruitful for the Lord. And I want to say, as someone who's maybe not at that stage yet, that we need you in this body of Christ. We need you. Pastor Eric and I were just talking recently at the sweetheart dinner, and our young people, our middle schoolers there with several of our older generation, and how wonderful that was, how valuable it is, how important it is for the life of the church. We need you. We need your experiences. We need your wisdom. We need your maturity. As Paul writes many places in his letters, if all the parts of the body aren't using their gifts, aren't hearing that calling of God and the value he places and pouring into what God has given, our body's not as strong as it should be or could be. Right? We need your fruitfulness. So what does that look like? Maybe a good thing to reflect on right now is to think about, how have you seen God bearing fruit through what he's been leading to you at this time? Or maybe ask, how can I be bearing fruit? What is God placing before me? Things have changed. Things don't look different. My abilities, my opportunities might be different than they were 25 years ago. But God, what do you have for me now? Because in the strength of the Lord, in him, we continue to be green. We continue to bear fruit as we testify to his name. Then lastly, I just want to think maybe more practically, what can I do? What can we be doing as we think about our lives? And these will still kind of be a little bit more general as we talk about it, but I hope it gets you thinking specifically. What can I be doing in my life? Even though things have changed, they don't look the same, I've been disrupted in this way or that way, what can I be doing? And we'll kind of use some of our senses to kind of bring this language out, and several more scripture passages that you can keep in mind too. So what can I be doing? Well, first and foremost, we can keep talking about Christ. Heard it here in Psalm 92. Here in many other places, we keep giving testimony to who Jesus is, to what he's done for us, how he's gone to the cross to forgive us of our sins, how he's conquered sin and death in his resurrection, how he's our Lord now at the Father's right hand and ruling over all things, how he's been with us all the way through and continues to be with us through all the changes. I keep talking about Christ. I was drawn to Luke 2 and that passage there where Jesus, after his birth, is brought to the temple. And he comes there and he meets a couple of folks there with Mary and Joseph. The first is Simeon, who's been looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, been promised that he wouldn't die until he saw that promised one, and he sees Jesus there. But I was especially drawn to Anna in Luke 2, 36 to 38, this more elderly lady, maybe in her mid-80s. Her husband died many years before, and yet she's there in the temple day and night worshiping, praying, praising God. And when she sees Jesus, right, she praises, and we're told that she's then telling everyone about the child. We can keep talking about Jesus, even as life changes. That passage in Acts 20 is one which finds Paul with the elders of the church in Ephesus. He's on his way back to Jerusalem, and life is changing for him. He knows he's going to trouble and to hardship, probably to his own arrest, maybe even his death. So he meets with them there, and that verse he just talks about, I just want to finish this race that I've been given well, and that's to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? To proclaim that good news. Keep talking about Christ. It's not just Paul's calling. It's all of ours, right? Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. Again, we have a calling in every age. We certainly can keep talking, can keep expressing what we know and have in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we can keep looking for God's plan and purpose. This is especially important, I think, as things shift a bit and change as we go through transitions. Jeremiah 29 is this passage when God's people are in the midst of a difficult transition. They're now in captivity in Babylon. God, what do you have for us now? What does this look like? And God has Jeremiah write this letter to the captives, to the exiles. And he speaks of some of his plans and purpose. It's not going to look exactly like it did before, but here's my plan. Here's my purpose. Settle down there. Keep family life going. Pray for the cities I placed you in. And God wants the people to know there he still has a plan. He still has a purpose for them. It's a good plan. It's a good purpose. But they need to be looking for that. Here's what it looks like. Maybe not exactly as it did before. The Apostle Paul, again, in Philippians 1, is writing to that church in Philippi from jail. His situation has changed. He's gone through a transition. It's maybe not what he had pictured happening. Nevertheless, he writes there in those verses that God has placed this before him. This transition is for the benefit of him and the church. He's seeing members of Caesar's own household come to Christ. He's seeing others become more bold for the gospel because they see how Paul is proclaiming it even from prison. Because Paul is looking for God's plan and his purpose. We need to pay attention too. Yes, things change. Okay, now I'm retired or I'm looking toward that. Yes, I've gone through this significant relational change in my life. Or maybe my job's changed or I'm living in a different place. Okay, God, what's your plan? What's your purpose? How are you leading me? How are you leading us now? God's walked faithfully before. He'll continue to walk with us now. Keep looking for his plan and his purpose. Then too, keep touching others with God's blessing. Right? We've received the blessing of Jesus Christ. We, in a sense, hold those blessings. Don't stop from touching others with that blessing. Right? Galatians 6, 9, and 10, as Paul's concluding that letter, he says, don't grow weary in doing good. To all people, but especially within the body of Christ. Don't grow tired. We could say today, don't retire from doing good, from sharing the fruit of the Spirit you've been given through Jesus Christ. So I can be asking too, how can I be blessing in this maybe new stage I'm in? Maybe it's my neighbors who need to know the blessing of Christ. Maybe it's my family that I'm able to bless in a different way. Maybe it's the church community. I have more time to do this or that, or a different way I can be about this. Maybe it's through a skill you have with knitting or crocheting or writing, or I don't know what it might be. But don't stop doing good. Don't stop blessing those around you with the blessing you have in Christ. And then lastly, just kind of combining two other senses, keep hearing God's promises. Keep tasting his goodness. Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? I think this undergirds so much because we do face transitions and trials and different things that come up in life, and they're hard for us humanly. We struggle sometimes through them. We need to keep hearing God's promises. Keep tasting that he is good. Maybe it's a promise like Philippians 1, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Maybe it's a promise like that in Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is for us in Christ Jesus. Maybe it's a promise like Isaiah 43, that God will go with us through the waters, through the flames of life, that they won't set us ablaze, that we won't be taken under, that he'll continue to go with us and be our God, be our Savior. So many promises. We need to keep hearing them. Maybe it's just that promise Jesus makes. Surely I will go with you even to the end of the age. Keep hearing those promises. Keep hearing them over against the lies that Satan would try to tell us, that we don't matter anymore, that there's nothing for us, that we have no value. Now keep hearing what God says to us, that we do matter, that he has a plan, that he has a purpose, that he is good, and we continue to enjoy his blessings, and we're looking forward to the eternal blessings he has in Christ. So yes, transitions can be difficult. They can be challenging. But friends, God's with us in the midst of them. And he continues to call us in the midst of them through his Holy Spirit and the power of Christ to continue to build his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you again this day for your word. Your word, Lord, is so pure, so full of truth, so powerful. Lord, it's amazing to see how you speak so faithfully across generations and continue to have us see time and again your faithfulness and your love for us and what you have in store for us, how you'd lead us to be. Father, this day we just lift us ourselves before you, Lord, in our lives. And Lord, you know what's going on. You know maybe the questions we're facing at this time, maybe the struggles we're having as life has changed around us. Lord, it's not easy for us. While you are strong, we are often weak. But Lord, we trust that your power is made perfect in our weakness. And that Lord, as we lean upon you, as we rest in you, we will never be disappointed. So Father, remind us again today that we are valuable in your sight. That you do always and still have purpose for us. That you continue to lead us and sustain us and carry us and rescue us. that you have done this all through your Son, Jesus Christ. We lift it all before you in his name. Amen.